The time spent working with Wendy at the Sherman Farm proved to be valuable. Noah learned pretty quickly that he was not as mechanically gifted as Wendy. It's not that she was smarter than him by any means, but building and fixing things was her great passion. Noah's was learning, and though he realized that whatever he was involved in at the bookshop would constitute a mere phase in his life, he believed the lessons he had learned so far were manna from heaven. When he was hungry, he would eat and be filled. The last couple of weeks he had not eaten. Instead, he had spent most of his time working with Wendy. Noah and Wendy had installed the small engine on his bicycle in their spare time. Although he kept his pedals, the engine that spun the back tire controlled by the push-button throttle on the front handlebar now did all the work. No more pumping his legs to pedal fast, he could now go 25 miles per hour with the push of a button. They had also reinforced the brakes, and Wendy had attached a small metal plate below his handlebars, on which she mounted an old milk crate. He used the crate for toting an extra bottle of gas and for carrying books. He had not yet shared his secrets with Wendy, or anyone for that matter, believing she would not understand and possibly think less of him, maybe even think he was crazy. Yet the knowledge he had gained from those secret lessons would not let him rest. A thirst became overpowering. He was ready for a new lesson to guide him in finding true happiness. It was all he could think about after growing dormant in the last 2 weeks. The great unknown was his ultimate machine, and he was ready for another ride. He left Wendy's early that day. It was a Wednesday, and school had let out 2 weeks earlier. He had been working 6 hours a day at the Sherman place, though oftentimes Noah and Wendy would finish work by 3 o'clock, allowing them time to tinker with other things. They referred to this extra time as playtime. Earl was good about compensating them for the extra hours, as long as it was helping the family business with relevant projects. Any personal projects that they worked on, like Noah's bike or Wendy's race car, was on their own time and dime. Today, Noah wanted to leave at 3. He told Wendy that his mother was getting out of work early and driving home to pick him up so they could go grocery shopping together. He then went into this long rant about the types of things his mother buys at the grocery store and how they don't suit his needs, which is why he really needed to go to be sure his mother would buy the right stuff. He rambled on about it until Wendy was sick of rolling her eyes and had had enough. "All right, okay already, go! Go grocery shopping. I don't want to hear it. I'll catch you tomorrow," she said with a cheek full of great big league chew. She quickly went back to work, turning wrenches underneath the hood of her mini race car. He took off, but not for home, and certainly not for the grocery store. His motorized bicycle brought him to his real destination and attracted a few onlookers along the way. Wearing a helmet now was a must, a condition imposed upon him by his mother, who had surprised him one afternoon with a bright blue one. She had seen the mechanical changes made to his bike, and while she was happy for him, she was worried too. Knowing he had the bike helmet made her feel better. There was one slot left on the bicycle rack in front of the public library. He locked his bike in, remembering that it was summer vacation and that there would be a lot more kids hanging out in town. He wasn't interested in activities, though. He wanted more information on his secret friends. He wanted to know all there was to know about them before returning to the bookshop. Noah wanted them to know that he knew their alter identities and that they could take him seriously and trust him with these secrets. Starting up the granite steps to the library, Noah noticed a flickering light sparkling high above. He stopped and looked up to identify what had caught his attention. And it wasn't the domed copper roof. There was something at the base of it where the pitched slate met the copper. He squinted at the object, nestled in a nook. It shimmered brilliantly, a bejeweled rectangle in the fading sun, and his creative mind instantly thought of lost treasures. Whatever it was, it would be difficult to access. The wheels were turning in his mind. How would I get up there? He wished he were in a book so he could just fly up there and get it, but unfortunately his imagination wasn't helping his physical limitations. He raced inside the building instead, slowing his pace abruptly when passing the front desk. This would have to be a covert mission,